Well, the title I have today is The Ram's Horn, The Feast of Trumpets, and The Return of Christ. So to start, let's all turn to Song 42. That's Song 42, not Psalm 42. If you have your hymnal, Song 42. And this is a song we often sing on the Feast of Trumpets. Song 42. And if you don't have a songbook there, that's all right. I'm sure you'll recognize these words. In the first verse of that song, the third line, blow on the trumpet, sound the drum on our solemn feast day. And the fourth verse, third line again, we repeat, blow on the trumpet, sound the drum on our solemn feast day. This is a statute and a law which God has ordained for Israel. Hard to say that and not sing it. We sing it so much. Sounds like we should be singing. If you look at the top of the page, it says that comes from the 81st Psalm, Psalm 81. So let's go turn there and see where those words we just read came from. Psalm 81. And starting in verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. So that's what we're approaching here in just a couple days. At the full moon on our solemn feast day. We're now at the time of the new moon approaching, and this psalm is considered to be a feast of trumpet song. A feast of trumpet psalm on our solemn feast day. I went to a commentary. First one I hit was Pulpit Commentary, and it indicates about verse 3. The chief blowing of trumpets was on the first day of the seventh month. And then they refer to Leviticus 23. So let's flip back there to Leviticus 23 and see where that commentary refers us. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So back to the commentary. The chief blowing of trumpets was on the first day of the seventh month. Most commentaries regard this psalm as composed for this occasion. And so they're referring to the Feast of Trumpets, a Feast of Trumpets psalm, as does, as has, God's church. But about a month ago, I was on the web and stumbled across a web page with the title, Incredible New Insight on the Feast of Trumpets. The page is www.triumphpro.com, and it is a new one to me. I've not been there before, as far as I know, /Feast of Trumpets. And the Triumph Pro stood for Triumph Prophetic Ministries. Maybe some of you have been across this page, this person. I didn't know who it was. Maybe you've hit sites like this one before. A lot of information there looked familiar to me. You know, some didn't, but a lot did. And when I hit things like this, I think, I believe this person is one of us or was one of us. There's too much familiar information that we don't come across or produce ourselves. A little searching revealed the author is a former Church of God member, actually someone who was in a high position and a longtime writer for the monthly publication of the church, The Plain Truth. His article begins in large, bold type. Does the Feast of Trumpets portray the second coming of Jesus Christ? ? Don't be too sure! ! It's about time we took a closer look at this vital holy day of God. ! Here is new understanding. You know, when I see those words, I remember when we had the falling away of Worldwide back in the 90s, and We had to do so much searching and proving, or maybe you didn't. I kind of went back through everything, and at that time, I mentioned before, I put our booklet on my desktop, and I just said to myself, it stays there. It's going to stay there, and this is fundamental beliefs, our fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God, and my thought was, if anybody ever challenges those again, that should really get my attention. And it does. So here he's saying, here is new understanding regarding this key annual holy day, and it's real. All capital letters, meaning. And then going into the text of the article, for many decades, multiple thousands have been taught. Well, he's talking about us. Multiple thousands have been taught and have taken for granted. Don't know that I would agree with that. The teaching that the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, pictures the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up the kingdom of God. It does make an awful lot of sense, doesn't it? Just the holy day plan. And if it doesn't, which is what he's saying, what happens to the rest of the plan and the meaning of the rest of the holy days? Our fundamental beliefs document, page 36, we can read about the Feast of Trumpets and our position. An annual Sabbath in late summer or early fall in the Northern Hemisphere teaches us that Jesus Christ will visibly return to the earth at the end of this age. At that time, he will resurrect God's faithful servants who are no longer living and instantly change those obedient saints who are still alive into immortal spirit beings. And we quote Matthew 24:31, 1 Corinthians 15:52-53, all real familiar verses, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. This festival commemorates the blowing of the trumpets. Please keep that word in your mind, what I just read here, of the trumpets, more than one trumpet, that will precede and herald his return. Seven angels with seven trumpets are described in Revelation 8 through 10, heralding world-shaking events. Christ will return with the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And that's Revelation 11:15. So continuing with the article that I found online, it seemed so clear. This person said, doesn't this day picture the blowing of trumpets? We just read that our literature agrees with that. And doesn't Jesus Christ return at the sound of a great trumpet? Therefore, by extension, doesn't this day portray the second coming of Christ at the blowing of the last trumpet? And he also refers to 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. All true. So I'm wondering, what's his complaint? Why the changed view? If we analyze it carefully, we should see immediately that there is something here that just doesn't add up. This holy day is named the Feast of Trumpets. All capital letters in his article. That is to say, the word trumpets is plural. This is the feast of many trumpets, not just the last trumpet. You know, here I have to wonder a little bit if his problem is that Christ returns at the last trump. Doesn't that imply that there are other trumps? Other trumpets, more than one, six in this case to be exact. Multiple trumpets associated with the return of Christ. But anyway, he continued, how many trumpets are going to be blown at the second coming of Jesus Christ? According to the word of God, just one trumpet. And so that's the crux of his argument, that the Feast of Trumpets can't represent the second coming of Christ. He does have other points that are rather small. We just heard his central point. He makes a part of his message that trumpets were to be blown on all the feast days, including Feast of Trumpets. And so there's nothing special about blowing of trumpets there on all the feast days. And he says this is all the more evidence that the last trump of Revelation announcing the return of Christ has nothing to do with the Feast of Trumpets. Is this all true? Is he right? Or is he totally wrong? And the Feast of Trumpets does picture the return of Christ, as we've long understood. How do we answer this person's argument? Well, first, what about trumpets being blown on all the holy days? Is that correct? Let's look at Numbers 10. We're here in Leviticus, so we're close. Numbers 10, And here we find instruction from God about making and using trumpets. Numbers 10 and verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make 2 silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation together." So the congregation was pretty spread out, and they needed something loud, and they could hear these trumpets for calling the congregation together if there was a need, and also for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather together before you at the doors of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. So it was a communication device, a communication method. Verse 9, the first part. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who opposes you, then you shall sound an alarm with these trumpets I've had you make. So the trumpets were also used to warn of attacks for war, to call them together, to direct their movements. Multiple uses. Were these same silver trumpets also used on feast days? Verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over the burnt offering and over the sacrifices of the peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So were they to be blown on the feast days? Yes, that is correct. These trumpets were to be blown on holy days in your appointed feast. Here's a critical question, though. Are the silver trumpets of Numbers 10, 2 different from a special trumpet sounded on the Feast of Trumpets that we read about in Psalm 81? The word for trumpet here in Numbers 10, 2 is a Hebrew word, is katsotsera. K-H-A-T-S-O-T-S-E-R-A-H, katsotsera, which is defined as, and this sounds pretty much like a trumpet to me, a straight, long, narrow trumpet with an expanded mouth, kind of a typical trumpet, pretty much the way we most often think of a trumpet. Let's go back to Psalm 81:3, where we were just a minute ago, and read about this trumpet here. Psalm 81:3, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon on the feast day. Is this a katsotsera trumpet, or is it some other type of trumpet that we're reading about here? The word for trumpet is indeed something different in this verse. Blow the shofar. If we look that up, it says blow the shofar, S-H-O-F-A-R, at the time of the new moon on your solemn feast day. So what's a shofar? Is that a silver trumpet? First definition that came up for me on a Google search was a ram's horn trumpet used by the ancient Jews in religious ceremonies, sounded at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so with that, we found that the trumpets to be blown on all the feast days are silver trumpets, but here we have an additional trumpet, a different trumpet, to also be blown on the Feast of Trumpets. Look at verse 3 again. Blow the trumpet. How many trumpets do we have there? Just made me think, getting back to the original criticism, this associated with the Feast of Trumpets, it says blow the trumpet, singular here. This kind of stuck out to me. This is to be blown on the Feast of Trumpets. Now let's consider if this different trumpet, this shofar, is also uniquely associated with the return of Christ. Can we show that? Can we show that it is? That Christ returns with the blowing, the sounding of the shofar, the ram's horn trumpet. That would be important. But before we look, let's see if Christ is associated with a ram's horn in other ways. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 22. Maybe this is the start of it. Genesis 22 and verses 1 to 2. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. So you can picture Abraham kind of sitting somewhere, and he hears this voice call out, and Abraham said, Here I am. He's answering. And then God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And God would never allow that to happen. But he needed to know the conviction of the man from whom he intended to start his special nation. Or actually, I'm sure God already knew Abraham's conviction. More than needing to know, I suspect he needed to show all of us Abraham's conviction. You do have to wonder what was going through Abraham's head. He knew God had promised to create nations through Isaac. Therefore, Isaac would have to be alive. And God had the power to restore life. If worse came to worse, his head must have been racing as this was going on, as he was about to sacrifice Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 10, where we are. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. What a relief. So he said, Here I am. And he, the angel, said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And you know this picture is what God would never let Abraham do, but what he was getting ready to do himself down the road with his son Christ, to let his son be sacrificed. The Jews feel that this is where the significance of the ram's horn began, including trumpets made from horns of rams. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behold, or there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered that instead. And so this is where the Jews trace the significance of the ram horn, including trumpets made from the horns of the rams, not a katsorah trumpet, not a silver trumpet, but the shofar trumpet. With this sacrificial lamb being caught by its horn, we feel this ram was provided by God to replace the son of Abraham. It represents Christ, who would become a sacrifice in our place, in place of all of us, caught by its horn. Let's move forward now to the book of Joshua and see if we find more ties of the ram horn to Christ. Joshua in chapter 5. Joshua 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. So this is the story of Jericho, the taking of Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man. And note, this is a capital M. A man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And this man said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua recognized who he was speaking with. And Joshua fell on the earth, on his face to the earth, and worshipped, and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And so do note, Joshua worshipped this being. We could turn to Revelation 22, 8 and 9. I won't go there, but that's where John fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who was revealing things to him. And what did that angel say when John did that? He said, don't do that, for I am your fellow servant. It's kind of humbling, isn't it, that an angel could look at you and say that? I'm just your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Okay, that would be us. We're here today on the Sabbath doing what we can to keep God's word. And the angel described himself as just a fellow servant. The angel said, don't do that. Worship God. You don't worship angels, you worship God. So returning to verse 15 of Joshua 5, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. So it's clear who this being is. This is no angel. This is Yahweh, this is Jehovah, this is the Eternal, this is the being who became Christ, the God being. What did God slash Christ tell Joshua to do? Chapter 6, verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. This again is in regard to the city of Jericho and the taking of that city. Verse 4, and the 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. They were to use what kind of trumpets? Trumpets of ram's horns. The priests shall blow the shofars, is what this says. Shall blow their shofar trumpet, not silver trumpets, but ram's horns. Verse 5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him, when you hear the sound of the shofar. A different trumpet here. And you know the rest of the story of Israel taking Jericho there. This taking of Jericho with the use of the ram's horn trumpet is tied then to one of the names of God, the God being who became Christ. What was that name? And that name is God, the horn of our salvation. It refers to the God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, to the God who came to the earth 2,000 years ago and allowed himself to be sacrificed for us. It refers to the God who promised to return to the earth again with the blowing of a horn, a shofar that the whole world will hear. Let's see that use of the name of God in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 22. David here. 2 Samuel 22, starting in verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. A shofar. Let's look in the New Testament and see if we find the same for Christ. And this is when Zacharias, I'm going to Luke now. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, was visited by the angel Gabriel. In Luke 1, verse 18, and here Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? So he kind of doubted what he's being told. Basically, that he and his wife were going to have a son. It would be John the Baptist who would announce the coming of the Messiah of Christ. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. This next part kind of gives me goosebumps or shivers. Who stands in the presence of God. It's hard to imagine standing in front of someone, looking at them, and knowing that they have also stood face to face with God Almighty, the Creator. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute. You will be unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And then when John was born, John the Baptist, verse 63 of this same chapter, so Zacharias is still mute. And John was born, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And that finished the time of this pronounced inability to speak. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loose, and he spoke, praising God. And in verse 67, now his father, and this is John the Baptist, the child's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up, and this is Christ he's talking about, the coming Christ, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, raised up a horn of salvation, meaning the Messiah, Christ, whom God was then finally raising up, the promised Messiah. In the house of his servant David, in David's family, Christ would soon be born by a virgin in Bethlehem, the city of David. Christ here then is also again referred to as the horn of our salvation. And now we're approaching the Feast of Tabernacles, when Christ returns with our salvation, immortality in his hands at the blast of a trumpet. So here again is the critical question. What kind of horn will be blown when he does return? When Christ returns, is it a shofar horn? Or a silver katzotzerah horn? Or some other kind of trumpet? Just what kind of horn is associated with the Feast of Trumpets and the return of Christ? Can we know? Let's go to Isaiah 13. One of the prophets, Isaiah. So much of this book is about the day of the Lord, the time of the return of Christ. Isaiah 13, we'll see this chapter is set in the day of the Lord, the last year of a 3.5 year tribulation period, the time culminating with the return of Christ. Isaiah 13, verse 6, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty." Verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes." So that we're talking about the time just preceding the return of Christ. "Cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it." Verse 11, "I will punish the world for its evil." Brings me back to Mr. McCurdy's opening prayer. Where in the world are we now? You just kind of shake your head and wonder sometimes. "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud." Are we so descriptive? "And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Much of Isaiah is similar. We could turn to Isaiah 24. I won't go there. But the whole chapter is the day of the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Verse 4 of this chapter. Again, we're right back in the same time. "All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, as the fruit falling from the fig tree." Verse 8. "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion." And here's a verse where we feel that the last year of the Great Tribulation, the last year of that 3.5 year period, is the day of the Lord in this prophetic day for a year period. Verse 8, "The day of the Lord's vengeance, the years of recompense." But now, what trumpet do we find in Isaiah that's associated with the return of Christ and the gathering of his people? Let's look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27 and verse 12, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day that the great trumpet will be blown." This is the last trump we're reading about. "And they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." The time setting is the day of the Lord. I think that's clear. And the word for trumpet here is what? The shofar, the ram's horn, the great shofar, will be blown with the return of Christ with his time. This is the time of Revelation 11:15 and the blowing of the last trumpet. We see what kind of trumpet that is. What does Isaiah say? The Lord will come to thresh. This word means to gather, to thresh out, to gather them one by one. That would be his people. "And they will come who are about to perish, and they shall worship the returned Christ in the holy mount at Jerusalem." So the time frame is evident. And we find the shofar horn being blown as the trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets at the return of Christ to gather his people and take his rightful kingdom. Is this the only time we find the shofar horn associated with the last of the seven trumpets and the final great trumpets? Let's go to Zephaniah. This is the fourth to last verse of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah. There's Zechariah. No, I'm close. Zephaniah. This is a book of three chapters. All of them focus on the day of the Lord. I see subject heads listed in my Bible. One is the day of the Lord. Over chapter 1, the day of the Lord's anger. Woe to the oppressing city, the remnant of Israel. Verse 1, Zephaniah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of, and several others listed here. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. False gods are going to disappear. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests in this time. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter, and the mighty men shall cry out. This day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And finally, verse 16, a day of trumpet. And the alarm against the fortified cities and against the towers. Which trumpet is this associated with the day of the Lord and the return of Christ? This day will be a day of shofar, is what is here. An alarm against the cities. Once again, the day of the Lord is the time of the shofar trumpet, a special trumpet with much meaning. The trumpets we read about being sounded in Revelation are described here in Zephaniah, as in Isaiah, as the shofar. Zechariah 9, just two books further toward the New Testament. Let's look at Zechariah 9. This section in my Bible is titled The Coming King. So it refers to the return, the second coming of Christ. Both comings are mentioned in this verse 9 of Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt of the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea. So we're finding things that didn't happen with the first coming. And from the river to the ends of the earth. Then verse 14, then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with the whirlwinds from the south. What trumpet is this? At the return of Christ? When he will speak peace to the nations? When he will have dominion from sea to sea? When he will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning? This is once again the shofar trumpet here, associated with the return of Christ and accordingly with the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 16 to 17, and the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like jewels of a crown lifted like a banner over his land. And how great is his goodness and how great his beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. This being after the return of Christ. The book of Joel, again, totally devoted to the time of the end. in the day of the Lord. Let's look at Joel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, third in this series, right before Amos. Headings in my Bible in the book of Joel include the day of the Lord, the valley of decision. I will pour out my spirit. God blesses Judah. Joel 1 and verse 15. 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And you can see we're right back in the same time. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet again. This is the shofar that we see here. The shofar is the trumpet sounded at the time of Christ's return. Chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah from Jerusalem, time of the end. Verse 16 of the same chapter, the Lord will also roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter to his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. This is obviously the return of Christ, the time of the second coming. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens, no non-believer, no non-family member shall ever pass through her again. But it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will be flooded with water, with good water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. So what have we seen with all these prophets? We've seen that a special horn was blown by Israel on the Feast of Trumpets, back in Psalms. On our solemn feast day, a shofar horn. And then four prophets, Isaiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, and Joel, all describe the blowing of a special horn, the shofar, at the time of the return of Christ. The shofar horn, no other, is the one tied to both the Feast of Trumpets and to the return of Christ. So this early idea we saw that, well, trumpets are blown on all the holy days. The Feast of Trumpets is no different. It just doesn't really hold up. This high feast day clearly pictures the coming return of our Lord and Savior, the horn of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Let's close in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, mentioned in our fundamental beliefs document. And you know what's here. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet. And now we know, we've seen from the Old Testament multiple places that this is the shofar, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This trumpet, prophetically described as a shofar, is the trumpet of our coming, just a couple days now, a very special feast day, and the trumpet that will be sounded at the return of Christ. As we move closer to the return of Christ, we'll occasionally, maybe more than occasionally, be confronted with other works that try to bring into question very basic truth provided by God to his church, such as the Feast of Trumpets really has nothing to do with the return of Christ. Obviously not correct. Let's be ready to defend the special knowledge given to us by our Father and enjoy all the great meaning attached to this approaching holy day season.